Hey there, Jen here, and this is a Happy Bit. Do you feel like you're getting more and more behind in life, like your to-do list is just getting longer, and that pressure weighs on you? Or maybe you feel like you're in the deep end of the pool, just treading the water, trying to do the everyday things of life, never really able to get out and do something for yourself. Maybe time for hobbies or fun or things that you love? Well, I'm going to help you out. I am offering a free workshop called How to Find Balance and create time for the things you love without feeling guilty. So I'm going to tell you all the things I've learned over the past several years about making time for myself, how I do it with six kids, how I do that with a business, how I get my spouse and kids to help. I want you to know you really don't have to constantly be in this achievement energy, trying to tackle that to-do list. Or maybe you're so overwhelmed with it all that you're just paralyzed and don't even know where to start. There's so much to do that you stare at it and think, oh my gosh, I can't even. If that's you and you're ready to get your sparkle back, ready to have a little time for yourself, maybe to crank out some exercise or some meditation, maybe to have that healthier meal and spend a little more time with your kids, just enjoying each other, which in my opinion, is what life is really all about, not that to-do list, then you'll want to be at this workshop. It's a brand new workshop I've never offered before, and I'm going to be sharing a lot of helpful tips, like how to really declutter your schedule and make time for what really matters to you. And that might be your family and your friends and all those dreams that you've probably left on the back burner for way too long. How to let go of guilt and be able to say no to some things and make time for the things you love, and that will light you up. And you know what? When we do this, we become way better moms because we are happy from the inside out. We're not just in constant achievement mode, but we can recoup and regenerate and fill our cups. And our kids pick up on that energy when we are able to make time for ourselves. So if you want to spend way less time on household tasks like laundry and cooking and cleaning and have way more time to fill your cup, then this workshop is for you. And you can sign up at jenbriday.com/time. Again, it's called How to Find Balance and Create Time for the Things You Love Without Feeling Guilty. And I would love to have you there. It's a virtual workshop. You'll be able to see my face. You'll be able to make comments, ask questions, and we're going to learn and do some things together. You'll come away from this with some ideas that will really help you find more time for yourself. So again, grab your spot for that workshop at jenbriday.com/time. You might know that I recently sent two of my teens to a wilderness therapy program, and I'm going to be talking about everything we experienced through that. Let me tell you all about the Anasazi Wilderness Therapy Program. Now, I talked about this previously in Happy Bit number 112 and in 122. So those would be the happy bits that come after episode 112 and after episode 122. And I talked about why we sent our kids to the wilderness therapy program known as Anasazi, which is outside of Phoenix, Arizona. Well, long story short, our 14-year-old went first. He was quote unquote off his rocker, completely thinking no rules applied to him, and he was going to live this life of fun and danger and time with his friends who we definitely know are not a good influence. And then come to find out, you know, our 17-year-old was in the same friend group for the most part. And it took us a lot of detective work to figure this out through Snapchat. How did I get into Snapchat? Well, I forced my son to let me see it in exchange for the SIM card I provided for his phone. He actually bought the phone. I gave him the SIM card. And part of that was so I could track him. Now, if you think I sound like a militant parent, look, these kids were in danger. And that's a parent's job, is to watch out for their kids. And I had tried that more relaxed, democratic style all along leading up to this point, trusting them and letting them do their thing and expressing full confidence that I knew they'd make great choices and that they were great kids. But I guess somewhere along the way, it was not the right balance of freedom for these two boys. So, wow, we turned it all the way around and the rules became much more significant. First off, I'll just give you a tip, parents. You've got to be in your kids' Snapchat and Instagram accounts. You have got to be in them. I was shocked, completely flabbergasted, that the child both of my sons presented to us at home was nothing like the person they were being in real life with their peers. It was like Jekyll and Hyde. Shocking. So anyway, you know, behaviors are shocking, but then to learn your child is nothing like you thought. I don't know. I also felt a little bit shocked on my end that, you know, I spent all this time meditating, praying, listening to my intuition, and I had nothing. I received no information intuitively about this, completely blown out of the water. So I suppose over the years, I will decipher why it happened. I suspect it's kind of part of the learning journey we needed to experience, that my sons needed to experience. And definitely I have learned a lot. And I want to talk about that in this happy bit. So we found the Anasazi Wilderness Therapy Program through friends who had worked there. One worked there as a trail walker. And trail walkers are college-aged, amazing, nature-oriented, intuitive young adults who lead these groups of teenage kids and even some beyond teenage years throughout the wilderness, keeping them alive, for one, helping them cook and eat and hike. And so our friends were a trail walker, and then the other one was a shadow. Now, a shadow is a licensed therapist who goes out into the wilderness each week to meet with these youth on the trail. It's the most amazing thing. They are full on in the wilderness, in the Tonto National Forest. That's where our boys were, way outside of Phoenix. And there's no way they could be anywhere near civilization. At most, they might come across a rancher or two, ranchers who will set up maybe a trailer out there in the middle of nowhere so they can keep track of their cattle. That's what they saw. So they were there for 7 weeks. And when the kids first arrive, boys and girls, they do what's called rabbit stick. And that's just the name of it, rabbit stick walking, where they learn the basic survival skills of the trail, one of which is to learn how to bust a coal. And this is done by creating a bow, which is a piece of wood with a string, or a thin rope tied on two ends. And then that is wrapped around something which I can't remember the name of it because I wasn't on this trail, but another stick essentially that is placed in a hole. And then this bow is pushed back and forth kind of with a sawing motion, and it causes friction between the stick and the other piece of wood below it. And until something starts to smoke, and then there's actually a piece of wood in there that becomes a coal. And so then this coal is gently nurtured until the kindling can be placed around it, and then small sticks, and then bigger sticks, and then you have your fire. Wow, fire is life, just as much as water is life out on the trail. So these kids come from these various experiences of drugs or mental health issues or massive troubles with the law. Sometimes they're sent via court order, and they come to the trail and they're mad and they don't want to be there. Some come more willingly than others. My youngest came very, very unwillingly, and he only agreed to participate when I, after some pretty horrible things happened with the staff at Anasazi, and I pulled him aside and I said, if you don't do this program, you're going to be put in a longer program that will be nowhere near as pleasant as this one. And then he got quiet and he became a full-on participant, although begrudgingly. The reason is he had to get away from the friends and the things he was doing. He had to come to a place, in my opinion, where he could see reason. And if you listen to the episode, the happy bit that comes after episode 122, he verbally talks and shares his story of what he experienced. But the most beautiful thing, he came back saying at Anasazi, he learned so many things, but one of the big ones was that he learned, we are we. It's not about I, but we have to walk as we. And when he came home, bringing that newfound belief and understanding, he was so utterly respectful and concerned about how we felt, about our experience, about building trust, about building community, complete change of heart. And when you have that foundation, then those negative behaviors had nowhere to happen. He literally has done all the right things since he got back. Pretty much a model child. Now, I will add one thing. He has chosen to still interact with the same friends, and we don't love it. But Anasazi taught us as parents that we cannot control. We cannot see the bad. We must always nurture and kindle and increase the flame of that light, just like my son had to do when he started his first fire. So we try to see the good in the friends, and we try to help him find light in other places. He has started a karate class. He is getting a good job. He is committed to good grades, which was not happening in the least this last spring. And so I can't say enough about Anasazi. Now, there are so many wilderness programs out there. Why did we pick Anasazi? I researched like crazy, and Anasazi, hands down, has the best Google reviews. But what's more, I found out that you can find sites where employees who used to work there will talk about their experiences, and I think that tells you even more. The former employees of Anasazi are in love with it for life. It was sacred to them. It was amazing. They just passionately love that place, and that says so much about the program. Well, so our first son finished his 7 weeks. We got to go onto the trail and pick him up and spend 2 days on the trail with him. No bathrooms. And I asked my son, like, you know, when you use the bathroom, what do you wipe with? I'm expecting leaves. I don't know. I'm naive, right? He said a smooth rock. I'll just say that I held it both times. So he cooked for us right away, and he had all these dried ingredients like lentils and rice and dried beans and apricots and sun-dried tomatoes, carrots, potato, onion, garlic, all these amazing ingredients, salt, pepper, chicken bouillon. And he decided he was going to make us lentil rice soup first. And so he proceeded to take a clove of garlic, put it in his mouth and chew it up into pieces, spit them back into the cooking cup. And then he did the same with the onion and the carrot. And I'm watching this thinking, whoa, mama bird style. Wow. My husband and I gave each other a look and we ate it because, hey, he did this for 7 weeks. We can't be picky. It was delicious. And I was really happy the food was boiled. It was cooked over the flame. So interestingly, along that same line, when we went to the trail with our older son at the end of his 7 weeks, he decided to make us a burrito, a special trail burrito. And so he chewed up his sun-dried tomatoes, but not just into pieces, but into a paste. And he would spit it back into the cup. And then he did the same with the onions and the garlic. He made them nice and smooth. And he added a cheese powder and salt. And, you know, that was a lot more saliva, right? So my husband and I watched, and he proceeded to take this pasty, cheesy, tomato-y sauce he had made and put it inside of dough balls because they were given some flour and some salt and baking powder. He made a dough ball out of all of that and then threw it in the ashes of the fire. It's called an ash cake. And I said, how are we going to eat it? He said, well, you just brush it off. So when the cooking was done, he kind of flicked the little ash cake burrito out of the fire into the dirt, picked it up with his kind of dirty handkerchief and handed it to us. And we brushed off the ash cake and the dirt and ate it. It was tasty. I had to really push hard to get past the, you know, the psychology of some of it. My husband and I were really polite. And apparently he would make these burritos for his entire band of boys, usually about 8 boys. And he was known as the best cook on the trail. And they would just eat it. They didn't care. And that's the neat thing about these kids on the trail. Food becomes the most amazing commodity to them because they have a certain amount of dried food they're given every week, about the size of a basketball. Nutritionally, it meets all their needs. But still, for teenage boys who are hiking all day, it just becomes the most precious commodity. So they would eat anything. I noticed when my younger son would drop something on the ground, he'd pick it right up and eat it. Everything was eaten. So what does that mean when they came home? Oh, food was life. I mean, they were so happy to go out for In-N-Out Burger. Or, you know, one son chose to go to the Golden Corral, not my favorite, but it was so fun to watch them eat all that food and make themselves sick. So love of family increased for both of them. That idea of rationing the things you have and really protecting the things that are important to you, like food, That became a great lesson for both of them. Respect for other people's feelings and the importance of the group. Because when they were hiking, of course, some of the hikers are slower. And so my older son said, their band would often put the worst hiker in the front and everyone else had to stay behind him. Not only did that kind of put a little heat on the slower hikers' movements with everyone behind him kind of pushing on, but it kept everyone together as a group. So always just this group thinking. So anyway, Anasazi is amazing for just all of these nature experiences and cooking your own food and all of the walking. But now I want to talk about the change of heart. And they have a pyramid with 6 layers that helps you to make these changes so you can have a heart at peace with your teen. And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment after we have a quick word from our sponsor. Did you know that shampoo is often the cause of all your hair problems? Most people don't know that. Shampoo overcleans your hair, stripping away your body's natural barrier of oils, and your body responds by overproducing oil to protect itself. Well, Hair Story has a product called Nuwash that stops this vicious cycle and calms down your scalp so your hair can return to its true nature. Hair Story's new wash is an entirely new way to wash your hair. It's not a shampoo, it's not a conditioner, but it's a blend of essential oils and natural cleansers, and it has no detergents or synthetic compounds that are going to strip your hair of its natural beauty. Tens of thousands of people have already quit shampoo, and Hair Story has a website that will help you know which of their products is right for your hair type. And with over 5,000 searchable reviews on their site, it's really easy to find someone with hair like yours and find out which Hair Story product is working well for their hair. Well, I am loving Nuwash, and I'm finding it's making my hair shinier. I have wavy hair, which can verge on being frizzy, and that's probably because I always spent time overwashing it. And now I can wash it less, and it's healthy, and it's shiny, and I love how it looks. Well, for a limited time, you can try Hair Story's Nuwash, and you'll get 10% off. All you have to do is go to hairstory.com/happywomen. Again, that's hairstory.com/happywomen to get 10% off your order. So at Anasazi, they kind of believe that the walking is part of the healing, especially the walking in nature. And some research, or really a lot of research these days, shows that when we engage in bilateral movement, such as walking, it can be a really big component to healing your heart, healing your mind, healing anything that's bothering you. So these boys would hike probably 35 miles a week as the crow flies. Well, 20 to 35, anywhere in there. And they, you know, would get tired. They learned determination and grit. They would go up and over mountains all the time. Up and overs, they would call them. They would talk about the highest mountain and what it felt like to get to the top. And then they would do what's called a mountain stepping. And they would take a rock and throw it off on the top of the mountain. And it would symbolize something they were going to leave behind as they crossed over that mountain. Just symbol upon symbol layered into this wilderness program. They would have fire circle at night where they would talk about their experiences and feelings at home and what they were learning. They would do blanket stepping ceremonies as well. So lots of ceremony and ritual and talk and thinking and feeling, just the best experience. So if you have a teen you're really struggling with, I love Anasazi, and I know there are a number of other amazing programs out there, but I just want you to know there are places that can help. Even Outward Bound is a nature program that lasts only 3 weeks, but still, the idea of being in nature, away from technology, which is highly addictive, away from negative influences of maybe particular friends or situations, and just being in that soothing, healing time in nature is beautiful. And I wish that all youth could experience it. So anyway, now talking about our experience as parents, we learned to stop trying to fix our kids and instead work on what's called the pyramid of growth. And this comes from the Arbinger Institute, which I'll provide a link on the show notes page. But anyway, this pyramid has 6 layers. The bottom layer is having your heart at peace as a parent. You need to be right in your heart. You can't be warring in your heart. You can't have a heart at war. You need a heart at peace towards your teen or towards any person. Then the next step, not intuitive for me, but it makes sense. You need to build a relationship with the influencers in your child's life. So they're friends, they're teachers, they're coworkers. You need to know their friends and think highly enough of their friends to have a relationship. If you hate their friends, you're essentially hating your child because their friends are their lives at that age. So we have heart at peace, build relationships with their influencers. Then above that is build a relationship with your child, right? You would think of flipping that, but it makes sense because if you can't be close to their peer group, you're not going to be able to be close to them. So heart at peace, build relationships with influencers, build relationship with your child. And then after that, we get to listen and learn. We need to listen and learn from our child by asking great questions. Now, these four things, many parents skip all of them, especially when teens get hard, but there is a place, it's coming, where we get to layer five of the pyramid. Now, the pyramid's slowly getting smaller as we get to the top. Teach and talk. Notice this isn't correct. It is teach and talk. But what were all the layers below that? Heart at peace, build a relationship with the influencers in your teen's life, build a relationship with your teen, build trust, listen and learn from your teen. Then, and only then, can you teach and talk. Then finally, the tiniest layer, level six, is to correct. Or really, not even to correct, but to invite. Invite them to make a change. You can't start at the top, and most of us invert this pyramid where we're constantly correcting and teaching and lecturing, and it doesn't work. So I want to invite you all listening. Check out the pyramid that I've listed the layers on the show notes page at jenridea.com/happy129. And these layers are critical for every relationship. First, heart at peace. Are you at peace with yourself and your life and with them? If not, fix it. Then build relationships with the influencers, relationships with your child, listen and learn, teach and talk, and then at the top, correct or invite. That is the pyramid of having those healthy relationships with the teen. So many more great things I learned at Anasazi. My experience was 1,000% positive for both boys. And an update, our 14-year-old is now 15. He's doing awesome. He is still doing awesome. We don't love the friends. They have some values that don't match ours, but we're trying to see the good and we're trying to have a heart at peace. Our 17-year-old just finished about 2 weeks ago and was home for 1 week. He made the choice to go and live somewhere sunnier and somewhere where he won't be around the influences that were happening here. He wants a fresh start. So we kind of thought about where could he go? You know, who do we know that could take a 17 and a half year old? And the circles kind of moved concentrically. We spiraled inward until we figured out, oh, there are colleges that will take high school seniors. Hello. So he's enrolled in college now and he's doing well and he has more sunlight and he's away from negative influences. And we have a lot of hope for him. It's just fantastic. So even though it was a painful experience, a big time of change, it's amazing to see that we made it through. We all still love each other. We have respect, probably more respect and love than we've had in a long time with these two boys, and we're feeling good. So I'm glad to update you about that. And you can check out the links about Anasazi and the Arbinger Institute and my other happy bits on this topic by going to jenridea.com/happy129. Also, one last thing. If you didn't hear my interview with Elizabeth and Claire earlier this week, they had a similar experience. Elizabeth, the mom, chose to send her daughter Claire to a therapeutic boarding school, which was actually 8 months long. And holy cow, what a transformation they both experienced. Beautiful story. This is happening all over the country to parents and teens. And if this is happening to you, don't feel alone. There is so much hope, especially if you find a way to add light to your relationships and light to your children's lives and new ways of thinking and the healing experiences of nature and movement and people that lift them up. There is hope. And I know you can find that just by listening to your intuition and reaching out to find that. And don't forget to sign up for that free workshop, How to Find Balance and Create Time for the Things You Love. And you can grab your seat at jenridea.com/time. Well, I will see you next week. And until then, make it a fantastic weekend. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Vibrant Happy Women podcast at www.jenryday.com.